When we read through the New Testament or study church history, it's likely that we'll notice there are many names and many titles that are given to Jesus. All of these names tell us something about Jesus' character and his purpose in coming to earth. And throughout this year's Advent messages of these past 4 weeks, we've learned more about Jesus' identity by studying some of the familiar Christmas accounts and how they relate to Jesus' statements of who he is, as he called himself the light of the world. He also referred to himself as the good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus also referred to himself using other titles that reveal his divine nature as well, such as the bread of life, the true vine, Son of Man, Alpha and the Omega. And these are all very informative when we consider Jesus' divine purpose of coming here to this earth, how he would reveal the Father's glory, how he would fulfill the scriptures, and he would bring hope and true life to all of humanity. But tonight, we will consider simply his given name, the name by which we know him, Jesus. And we will consider what this name actually means and what it tells us about him. Now remember, there's often great meaning in the names that the Jews gave their children, and it's no different for Jesus either. We need to understand that this name that he was given was more than just a name. You see, it reveals Jesus' power and authority, his divine nature, and his eternal plan of salvation. So listen to these words, and you can follow along if you have a Bible in front of you, from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he calls his name Jesus. Now, if you were looking at this passage from Matthew 1, perhaps you notice how the New Testament opens up in verse 1 of that chapter. As it says there, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not uncommon to find genealogies in the Bible, especially in the first five books, the Pentateuch and First Chronicles. These passages are not easy to study or preach on. We primarily see this long list of names given here in these genealogies. Some of these names very hard to pronounce. But this genealogy in Matthew 1 helps us to understand what Matthew wished to convey to his intended audience, many of whom were Jewish. Matthew is telling us that Jesus was born into a line of familiar men and women of faith. And more specifically, Jesus descended from that royal family of Judean kings. So Matthew is reminding us of the promises of God, which he made to Abraham, to David, and to others. These promises in which he would keep his covenant to redeem his people, and he would ultimately bring forth the Messiah, By whom, as he told Abraham, all the families, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So God had been at work for a very long time in sending forth this Savior. God had kept his promise to his people. And this passage shows us how he was finally fulfilling his promise. All the history of Israel and Judah, we see that in the Old Testament was leading up to that redemption which God would graciously give to his people. So you could say that all the Old Testament pointed forward to a specific person, to Jesus. In this birth account, Matthew shows us how God had fulfilled his covenants through Jesus, who is the Christ. As Paul says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. And actually, when Matthew introduces the birth account of Jesus, the word for birth we find here is often translated as origin. Greek is Genesis, where we get our word Genesis. So even though this passage unfolds the details immediately leading up to Jesus' physical birth through Mary, in this encounter between Joseph and the angel, we can see how God had been orchestrating countless events leading up to this. Paul even writes that the mystery of the gospel is included in this eternal purpose, which has found its fulfillment in Christ Jesus our Lord, Ephesians 3:11. And by God's purpose and grace, he gave us this salvation in Christ Jesus before the ages began, 2 Timothy 1:9. So how did Joseph and Mary fit into this divine eternal plan? Well, Matthew tells us a little bit about Joseph. He says that Joseph was a just Jew, engaged to this woman Mary as this passage was taking place. Now, when Joseph realized that Mary had this very difficult situation where she was pregnant, he was not the natural father, obviously he was very troubled. The way he saw it, Mary had been unfaithful to him. He saw her as a fornicator, as an adulterer, since this marriage was actually binding at this point. So he had it in mind that he would legally divorce her. And yet Joseph still cared about Mary, and he cared about her reputation in society, so he felt it best that he would do this privately. Again, this is how Joseph understood this situation by his human reasoning. But again, as we see many times in Scripture, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Therefore, God would send this angel to Joseph to assure him that this child that was in Mary's womb at this time had a divine purpose. The angel assured Joseph that Mary had indeed remained chaste. You see, she was pregnant because God had put that life inside of her. Jesus was no ordinary child. Mary was about to give birth to the Messiah. Throughout history, God had been working providentially to bring forth this child that Joseph would raise as his own. As a man, Jesus came about a little over 2,000 years ago, but his person, his spirit, has no beginning. He is eternal. Now, we might look back on this event, and we can wonder, does it really matter whether or not Jesus was conceived by the Virgin Mary? I mean, couldn't God have simply bestowed his spirit on a human child born naturally to Joseph and Mary? That Jesus could have been empowered with God's spirit to carry out everything that he did? So why the virgin birth? Well, for one, Matthew says this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Isaiah had spoken these words in verse 23 to King Ahaz in reference to how God was going to protect Judah from their enemies. But the ultimate fulfillment of that passage is seen in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You see, God had always planned to bring about his Redeemer through his own power, which was at work in fallen humanity. But the virgin birth also shows us that this was not going to be a mere man whom God was going to raise up as the Messiah. No, the Lord's anointed one is divine. He came from heaven. Yes, Jesus may have lived on the earth as a man, but he is truly God. God would have to enter humanity in a miraculous way, so the conception of Jesus would also have to be carried out miraculously. The Holy Spirit brought about this life in Mary's womb. Now, this wasn't the first time by which God had brought forth life by his divine power. We see this at creation, when he spoke and created the worlds and created life. We see this when he breathed life into the body of Adam and brought him to life. We also see when God told Ezekiel to breathe, and he brought life into those dead bones in Ezekiel 37. So yes, our God is a life-giving God. And this tells us that the virgin birth does indeed matter. Now, what Matthew is telling us in this passage is that the child, the son of Joseph and Mary, was actually the Son. That is, God the Son. And Joseph, upon hearing these words, must have been overwhelmed. The angel was telling Joseph that he was to take Mary as his wife, that he was to raise up this child who would be the Messiah. So if you think about it, Joseph was told to adopt the Son of God. God trusted him as the child's human father, as he was entrusted with this responsibility of raising him up and giving him the name Jesus. So why Joseph? Why was he so special? Wasn't he just a poor, common Jewish carpenter? Well, actually, no. You see, this angel refers to Joseph here as a son of David. Matthew shows us in his genealogy, Joseph was providentially born into that line of Judean kings. And as we see in Luke 3, so was Mary. It had been prophesied for a long time that the Messiah would come from the line of David, that this king would bring about this fulfillment, or that God would bring about the fulfillment of placing a king on David's throne, and that he would be born of Joseph, this God-fearing Jew, this son of David. Joseph would be obedient to the angel's word. He took Mary as his wife. He gave the child the name Jesus after the child was born. And yet Joseph would never forget that Jesus did not actually belong to him. On the contrary, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So it would be more accurate to say that by faith and by God's grace, Joseph belonged to Jesus. Now all this points us to Jesus' ultimate purpose in coming to the earth as the Word made flesh, as God with us. Again, Matthew shows us God's providence in this birth account of Jesus as God was working all throughout history to bring forth his Messiah. We can also discern that Jesus was not just a man, a holy man of God, but he is God's Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and became God with us. And Jesus also came into the world in order to accomplish God's salvation for his people. This is displayed for us in the meaning of the name Jesus. So why is it significant that Jesus was given this name? Well, Jesus comes from the Greek word of the Hebrew form Yeshua or Joshua, which we know. And Joshua or Yeshua means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. You're probably at least somewhat familiar with Joshua from the Old Testament. Joshua served as Moses' right-hand man during the Exodus from Egypt. And then he led the Israelites into battle against their enemies in Canaan. And by God's power, Joshua helped to save Israel from their enemies, to bring them safely into the land that God had promised them. And in a similar way, Jesus came to bring deliverance for God's people, But he would deliver them spiritually. He would deliver them from sin and death. Now, most people seek after physical safety for ourselves and our families. We want to feel safe. We want to work hard to provide for all of our physical needs, for ourselves and for our loved ones. So we learn how to take care of ourselves, to defend our families. We work hard to put food on the table or to make sure that we have decent clothing or a warm place to stay at night. But ultimately, we cannot obtain lasting security through the work of our hands, through our clever ideas, or through all these physical provisions that we have. The only type of safety and security that lasts is the spiritual salvation which comes from God. We put our trust in Him. We believe that He will give us what is best. Now, Joseph trusted this message from God's angel. He proved faithful to God's word. Even though it defied his human logic, Joseph didn't question the message. He simply obeyed. Joseph put his faith in the Lord's salvation. He trusted that Jesus would bring salvation for God's people. So is this really why Jesus came to earth? To save his people from their sins, as the angel said. What did Jesus understand about his purpose, his meaning for coming to the earth? In Luke 19, Jesus told Zacchaeus that salvation had come to his house that day. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus told the crowd around him in John 6 that he is the bread of life who comes down from heaven, who gives life to the world. When Jesus called the hated tax collector Matthew to be one of his disciples, Jesus told those grumbling Pharisees, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners," those who understand their need for salvation. Jesus also told his disciples one specific purpose of his earthly ministry was this, which we find in Matthew 20. "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus knew that he came to bring salvation for those who believe. But this salvation came at a great price. He would give his life as a ransom. He would suffer God's wrath. He would die a gruesome death on the cross. But this just goes to show the great love that God has for us. Just as we read in John's Gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus Christ came as God's gift of salvation. So who is Jesus? Well, that's a loaded question, and there are many ways to answer this question. Jesus is the one who suffered, who faced temptations as a man, who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses and yet was without sin, as we read in Hebrews 4. Sure, he is the son of Joseph and Mary through his human descent. He is the Son of Man, the Son of David, but he is also the Son of God, as both Peter and Martha would later confess. As we heard from that scripture passage in Colossians 1, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the body, the church. Paul tells us he has preeminence over all things created. And this is true in part because he created all things. John tells us that Jesus, the Word, was with God, that he was God, and that all things were made through him. So yes, Jesus truly is God. As he told the argumentative Jews in John 8, "Before Abraham was, I am." A clear reference to that name of God in Exodus 3. But also, as Colossians 1 tells us, Jesus is the one who reconciles to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. By his grace, he brings peace, and he brings eternal life to sinful humanity. Who is he? He is Jesus. He is Savior, the one who will save his people from their sins. But friends, it's not enough to know about Jesus, but do you know him? Do you, like Joseph, trust him? Yes, he is the Savior, but is he your Savior? Nothing you decide to do or put effort into can save you. We are only saved by our faith in Jesus Christ alone, and this is a gift of God. We are to turn to him. We are to trust Jesus. We are to love him, to follow him, and then we can know that we are saved because of him. So who is Jesus? He is the most important person you can ever know. He is the one who gives us real, eternal hope and eternal life. Let's pray. Father, once again, we praise you. It's amazing that we can even call you Father. That you are the God of the universe who spoke in the beginning, that you had this plan of redemption, even though we don't deserve your love, we deserve your justice, we deserve punishment, and yet you showed your love by sending your son, by sending Jesus Christ to come into this world, to be our Messiah, to live the perfect life, to die the gruesome death, to be raised to eternal life, to take the punishment of our sins, so that by faith we can know that we do have redemption found in you. This is a wonderful gift for us. And I pray that all of us here tonight would take this to heart and not just know that, yes, the story of Jesus sounds good. It sounds like a good story to me. I've heard it many times. It gives me a warm feeling inside. But Lord, I pray that we would all, through your Spirit, know that you are Savior, that there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, but we simply trust that you have done the work sufficient. You sent the Son. He died in our place. And we celebrate him tonight, knowing that Jesus did come to this world over 2,000 years ago. And this gives us peace, and this gives us hope. I pray that we would all trust that you are the Savior. Amen.